As I turn on my radio, if I listen on the internet, I'm listening for one station to be beyond the circuit, to be beyond the place, the man with the style, the grace, the shape, and the face. If you want to hear the innovator, the crowd motivator, the commentator complicator, if you want to know to the place where the place when somebody's more devastating than the space modulator, you come to the place where Caprice Coleman is. That's right, the show stopping, crowd popping, body rocking, pulse pounding, the heart race of the handsome face heartbreaker will be at Beyond Ringside. I'm logged in, baby. Are you?
Got it. Welcome back in to what has been called your original rock and wrestling radio show and a whole lot more. We are your home for wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing, full contact FM. I think I'm going to trademark that real quick, too. This is Beyond Ringside. Yours truly, Fast Eddie Lane, being rejoined by the Wicked Nemesis. Welcome back.
It's the final countdown, my friends. The final countdown.
You got it. In more ways than one. And actually, there's a countdown in place to Saturday, January the 29th up in Seagrove, North Carolina. And we have a very special guest on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, professional wrestling superstar known here and abroad, the one, the only, Caprice Coleman. Mr. Coleman, a pleasure to have you on Beyond Ringside.
Am I live?
You are live. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes, sir. You want me to get on a regular phone?
If you could, please. It sounded like you're coming through a tunnel.
Hello?
Gotcha. There you are. Much better. Glad to have you on board.
All right. Thank you for calling me.
Oh, man. We had a great conversation the other night. I apologize again for waking you up. I really do. I know how precious sleep is, especially over the last 4 days. So, once again, I thank you for your patience and your tolerance, too. First off,
not a problem.
Now, I've had a chance to do a little bit of research, and I haven't had a chance to follow as much as I really like because I know that you work a lot in the North Carolina area or in the Mid-Atlantic area. You also do quite a bit over in the Georgia area. Matter of, I believe you've crossed paths with my tag team partner on the show, the Wicked Nemesis, before.
Uh-huh.
But for those who have not had a chance to really find out about Caprice Coleman, do me a favor, if I could, where did you originally get started in the industry? And I know the word Omega is going to pop up in there sooner or later, but let everybody know a little bit more about Caprice Coleman.
All right. I started... Oh, man, I don't even want to tell how long ago it was. It might start telling my age. But I started a long time ago with a company that, before it was Omega, it was New Frontier Wrestling Alliance, Matt and Jeff, Champagne, Shane Helms, Shannon Moore, Jason Nart, all these guys. They had a wrestling promotion, and when I first started, I was extremely small for my size, so I started out as a referee with them, and then Matt had the idea of turning into Omega. And by the time he had turned it there, I had started putting size on, and I was continuing wrestling training. And then after that, they gave me a chance to perform. After I started performing with them, they were taking me places and going different places with them. And, of course, Matt and Jeff get signed, so everybody kind of goes on their own way after that. But after that, they kept in contact, and everybody just moved their own way. But I kept going where I was going, and the Lord has blessed since then that I've been able to make a successful name for myself.
Yeah, because you have worked, like I said, you've been all up and down the Mid-Atlantic. You've been through the Southeast. You've worked not only here domestically, but you've also turned in performances abroad as well. Now, before I really go into that, I want to ask a question. One of my favorite ones, because everybody always seems to have a slightly different answer. Having worked in front of different geographic regions here in the U.S., and I know that there's a difference in the fan bases and the way that we all look at the industry of professional wrestling and the business of professional wrestling. But you've also got the dynamic of the fans across the ocean. And how do you find the dynamic of the fans, the way that they respond to the wrestlers, the performers, the storylines, the spots, the matches themselves? How do you find the differences in the fans between here and abroad?
It really is a big difference. I think in America, to be honest, we're so spoiled. We see wrestling all the time. We see wrestlers all the time, and wrestlers are superstars and all. But when you see it Monday night, Friday night, and then Saturday night, and anytime you're looking at the internet, you kind of know what to expect. So you want to see the next big thing and all. But when you're overseas in wrestling, and especially places where they don't get a lot of wrestlers, you're like, for lack of a better term, almost like a god. You know, anything you do is amazing, and you be talking to them is amazing. They They want to give you stuff that everybody else would have to pay for just to be around you, to be seen around you. So it's almost like you turn into a mega superstar when you go other places. But honestly, there's no place like home, because once you get home, you have to face reality. But also, you know, the fan base, a wrestling fan is a wrestling fan.
Okay.
So that's the difference for me.
Okay. Now, if before I go any further, the Oracle of Ominous, Wicked Nemesis, question for Caprice Coleman.
Okay. Mr. Coleman, a lot of people remember you from NWA Wildside. You were one of the cornerstones of that. I mean, you had Crew Jones, Aiden Chambers, all these guys. What stands out the most about Wildside before it became NWA Anarchy?
I think the way Wildside stood out to me is the fact that there was so many stars there that knew there were stars, but nobody really had a big head. You know, nobody was, I got to do this, or I need to do this, or it's going to be like this. Everybody was there to learn, and then if they saw somebody that had potential, they didn't try to hold them back. They built on that potential. I never realized the talent that I had. I mean, I knew that I was a good wrestler, but I didn't realize the talents that took me out and made me different until I went to Wildside. And Bill Barons were there, and other people were there that was like, hey, you know, you do this, can you hold a microphone, and can you do this, and can you do that? And when I started doing the stuff they asked me to do, it's what made me different. And I think that's the thing about wrestling. You know, there's a lot of athletes out there. There's a lot of entertainers out there. But finding your niche and what makes you different is what gets you different bookings. And I believe at Wildside at that time, it was an era where they were finding what made you different than anybody else. Not if you were the one that could do the most backflips and this and that or whatever. It's what made you stand out, what made you different. And I wouldn't have found that anywhere else.
Now, when you first started paying attention to professional wrestling, there are two moments, and this is always the question everybody knows that there's normally a running gag about how long it's going to get me into the interview before I ask. So for those who had 6 minutes, you're good. I guess you win the t-shirt this week. But if I may, there's always two moments for everybody in this business. I had my two different moments. Wicket's had his. Every star that we've had on has had their two particular moments, whether they be at the same time or not. The first moment is when you really become a fan of the business. And then the second one is, I got to do this. For Caprice Coleman, what are those two moments?
Honestly, I could say I think I was around 3 or 4 years old, and I was watching the TV, and I don't remember the whole feud, but it was between Dusty Rhodes and Barry Windham, and it had something to do with the boots they were wearing, and Dusty Rhodes was saying how there was a devil inside of Barry Windham's boot and all, and I was looking at this guy, Dusty Rhodes, that didn't seem to be, you know, the most muscular guy in the best shape, but anything he said, people believed, you know, and it was almost like I had to watch this guy, I had to do this, and while I was watching that and seeing the different things that were going on, I was hooked. I was hooked to wrestling, and I had never heard of, like, WWF at the time because I was, you know, raised in the South, and I went to New York to visit some family up there. And they were watching WrestleMania. And this was, I remember the match specifically. It was Hulk Hogan versus, I believe, King Kong Bundy.
Okay.
And I had never seen these two guys before. And I was, like, a big wrestling fan, you know, from the NWA era. But I had never seen WWE. And WWE, to me, was like a different scale altogether. It was like, you know, entertainment. And it was like, it was really, really, really big. And instead of it being real people, it was like these guys are superstars. And I think that's where a light on went to me, was like, man, this shit can take you anywhere. You know, this, everywhere I go, I see these guys, and it gets bigger. You know, the higher place I go up, the bigger it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when I was around teenager, I was always a wrestling fan, but I was a teenager at this time when Brian Pillman hit the scene, because I was a very small guy for my size all the way through school. And but Brian Pillman was the little guy that everybody was so much bigger then, but I saw the way he wrestled, and he didn't do the same moves that everybody else did, and he could win. He was able to maneuver himself in a way that, you know, he could fit in with the big guys, and that was my whole persona, because I was always smaller than everybody else, but I made a way to make up for my size. And Brian Pillman really made me feel like I can do this. You know, I can really do this. It's not a big guy sport. It's not something that, you know, you have to be big and muscular to do. I can do this. And at that time, like I said, I was a lot smaller than other people. And I still, for a wrestler, I feel I'm not a huge guy, but I have put myself through enough to get in shape, not to be ran over. But at that time, being somebody like Brian Pillman, which really stood out to me, that I can be somebody that
didn't have to be the biggest guy, but I could definitely make a name for myself. And that was the moment that I was like, you know what? I can do this.
Now, you make a reference to being a fan of the National Wrestling Alliance growing up, especially you're talking about Dusty and Barry. You know, at one point, they were close enough to be uncle and nephew. At one point, they were close enough to be father and son. At one point, they're the bitterest of rivals. And especially, I believe, I remember the Devil in the Boots gimmick you were talking about. Now, you have been a champion in the National Wrestling Alliance. You've been the Georgia Junior Heavyweight Champion, if my notes are right. You've also held the Wildside, NWA Wildside Television Championship. Now, having been a fan of the NWA, was there a little voice in the back of your head when you won that first belt that had the, or when you got that first belt that had the letters NWA on it going, hey, I'm part of the crew now?
Yeah, it was.
Did you mark out for it for a minute?
Say again?
I think the easy way to ask is, did you mark out for it for a minute?
Well, anybody that knows Caprice Coleman, they know the one thing about Caprice Coleman. Caprice Coleman is a belt mark. Not belt mark, like I have to have a belt, but I used to make the wrestling belts when I was little, and the aluminum foil, I migrated to cardboard, to two-layer cardboard, to tin foil, and aluminum, and all types of different ways. So anytime I saw a wrestling, when I saw a real wrestling belt, I was like, whoa. And so when I was going to different, you know, independent wrestling scenes, they would kind of makeshift trophy belts. With Omega and all, and then even the Omega title that we had was kind of like a real thin layer belt. So when I got to Wildside and I started seeing, I believe Wildside was really the first place I actually saw a real wrestling belt. So I was a mark from the get-go. Before I even knew I was had a championship material, whoever was the champion would sit the belt down, and I was kind of ease my way to it, just like to look at it because I was a belt mark. So when I actually won the belt, I took it everywhere I went, man. I'm not going to lie. It was riding in the trunk of my car, and the people that I knew, you know, that would appreciate it, I would show it. And then I was, like, real scared because I was like, man, if I lose this, it might send somebody after me to shoot me because this thing is made out of so-and-so, so-and-so, and it's so valuable and this. So, I mean, I really felt like, you know, yeah, I was part of the crew, but I felt so honored to be holding something that I've looked at all my life as, like, it, you know, the main trophy, the big thing, so... That did make it stand out a lot for me.
Hey, Wicked, come on back in.
Well, you know, Caprice, let me have your thoughts on this. Now, you know, you're no longer with NWA Anarchy. You know, you've gone on to bigger, better things. We know you've got some big updates coming. What is your thoughts, man? Now, I know Wildside and Anarchy is your home. I mean, you know, from that, how do you feel about Anarchy possibly going away?
I didn't leave Anarchy. I want to correct that, man. I'm not active with them right now, but it's the people that know my story. I'm actually a pastor, and the wrestling schedule at Anarchy really got to me because I was a champion at the time. And then when my pastor offered me a job to pastor a new service that the church had acquired, I was honored to do that. And I mean, I know their dreams and their callings, and I have to follow my calling first, but the service that I was pastoring was 8:30 in the morning, and the drive for me to Anarchy or Wildside was greater than 5 hours both ways, and then you go, you finish. So I was getting home. I was going every other weekend faithfully, and it was costing me money. Of course, we all know how the indie scene is, but by the time I would get home, especially when you're riding with other people, I'm getting home 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. And you're supposed to try your best to stay up on the road with the people that are driving. And then so I get home. There's no way in the world I can, you know, pastor an 8:30 service or preach that morning to do that. So I had talked to the people at Anarchy and let them know what was going on there. So I believe my exit there was a very smooth transition. I gave them time to do it, time to work something out there. And it wasn't an abrupt thing because I wanted to leave an open door there because I really have a lot of respect for that area. Of talent because I believe that area is really what gave me the jump start to other places because people watching Anarchy and people watching Wildside is what had them calling, you know, Bill Barons and other people to say, hey, who is this Caprice Coleman guy? So, and there's still doors for me to go there. Actually, the service that I passed now in January, it changed to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So me getting home 5 o'clock in the morning now is not too big of a deal anymore as it was before, so you might actually see my face there before it shuts down. But to hear that it might be shutting down, honestly,
I don't feel like that's going to go forth because I've been down that road before with Wildside and Anarchy, and a lot of times what happens is, you know, they shut the doors, but somebody else comes in to open it up, and it's the same building, it's the same wrestlers, it's just new management, and that's 9 times out of 10, that's what happens. So as far as it shutting down forever, I mean, that building, that's a wrestling building. You can't turn that building into anything else if you wanted to. So that's the way I feel about that. It might be, you know, be down for a minute, but somebody else is going to itch and ante up the money to keep the building running or whatever and keep it going. That's my honest opinion about it.
In other words, to use a very loose analogy, you could almost call it a church of professional wrestling, right?
It's exactly. I think it probably was a church before, a Southern Church of, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay, which actually you brought it up before I had a chance to, and I want to thank you for doing that. Of course, you did make the reference to the fact that you were an ordained minister. You do currently, you're working as an assistant pastor in a Baptist church. Where now?
Southern Pines, North Carolina.
Okay, and now, how often do you get the little, we've seen so many in our industry, and it's been a lot of the people who worked heavy during the 80s especially who've made that turn, turn to Christ, to rededicate or to dedicate their life to Christ. And, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior many, many moons ago, and we've had a cup of coffee every once in a while too. And
it's, I like that. Go ahead.
Also called a very in-depth conversation or three. And I see so many people going back and forth about this because I've seen people who've left our industry to enter the ministry, and then they'll come back to the business, and you can tell that it's had a profound effect on their life. But you've also seen some who they've left, they've gone into the church, then they've come back, and they've come back crazier than ever. Is it just their own personal walk that leads people down different paths?
Oh, man, you asking questions that's right down the alley of Caprice Coven. I hope you have a seat that you're sitting on, and the people that are listening have a table they can get me up and put some food on, because I'm about to feed you some supper here.
I got a bottle of water. I'm good.
Here's the deal. I went through the same ordeal, and I know exactly what you're talking about. A lot of the people that go in, they get religion and all. And here's the bottom line, and I hope I don't take too long explaining this. It is a personal walk, but with my persona was this. When I got the call, I was 14 years old when I was called to preach. All right, and I was definitely a wrestling fan, and I wanted to pursue wrestling and all that, but that call never left me. All right, I never went to a point where I'm a wrestler, I'm a preacher, or whatever like that. I always knew that I was called to preach. All right, wrestling, when I started wrestling or whatever, at the beginning, it was just a hobby. That I wrestled here, I wrestled there, and I was wrestling like once every 3 months. You know, something like that. As the tables turned and all, wrestling became more than a hobby to me. I started getting opportunities and saying that, hey, I can make a living at this. All right. So as I got older and maturing more in wrestling, I was also maturing more in ministry. So it did, at that point, at one point, head up to a point to where, look, I have to make a choice, whether I'm going to follow ministry or whether I'm going to follow wrestling. And so I gave up wrestling. This was like around 2002. Or whatever that time, it lasted for about a year. While I was doing that, I was up there and I was trying to learn more about the ministry, and I was definitely learning more about where I was going to different schools and all this. But the wrestling bug never left me. All right. So then I realized, I was like, well, there's something here for a reason. But I was like, well, I'm not going to this show. I'm not going to that show. I got an opportunity. I got a call from Texas. AJ Styles had set this up for me. Christian Wrestling Federation.
Right.
And the guy there called me, and he said, what they do is you wrestle, and after you wrestle or whatever, you give a testimony, and if you, you know, if you're a minister or whatever, you're allowed to preach afterwards or whatever. And I was like, are you serious? I can wrestle and I can preach in the same day? Is this a joke? You know, is this a joke? So I went there, and I lied to you not, man. I went, and we had two shows, and the second show they let me preach on it, and I preached. And I don't know how many people were out there. So it was like an indie show for Christians or whatever. So it was a couple of hundred people out there. But 35 people came to the ring. The ring was the altar to give their lives to Christ. I was like, okay, this is big time. So I was like, okay, maybe only Christian wrestling, maybe only Christian wrestling. But then as I matured, I looked on the TV and I was like, where's the Christian football league? Where's the Christian basketball league? You know, when I become a professional athlete, can I only perform in realms that say Christian, or can I be that Christian that walks into that realm and be myself.
Thank you.
Now here's where the lick is. What professional wrestlers have to understand is this. A lot of people were delivered from certain things, drinking, alcohol, partying, drugs, whatever their thing was, women, whatever their thing was, and they leave professional wrestling, they become Christians or whatever. They have to separate the difference that it wasn't professional wrestling that was keeping them from God. It was the afterlife that was keeping them from what they was doing. A lot of people that was wrestling, and the wrestling wasn't the one that was keeping them, messing them up. It was the party, the after party, the what you was doing when after the bell sound that messed a lot of people up. So what happens to a lot of people are, you know, they get saved or they found religion or whatever as a way out of something, and they try to go back to wrestling or whatever. When they go back to wrestling, instead of just wrestling, they go to the after party. Instead of just wrestling, they get back into the drug scene. Instead of just wrestling, they're looking for the ring rats. Instead of just wrestling, they're finding things that they were addicted to beforehand, and they end up getting back into it worse than they were before, because instead of just wrestling, they picked up that wrestling lifestyle. And I believe it's the lifestyle of the entertainer, any entertainer, sex, drugs, and alcohol, that's the catch that drags a lot of people and drowns them, because it's not the act in itself, it's the after show that messes people up. So I really believe in my heart that it's the after show that is hurting the people. And humans are humans, and people are going to make mistakes, you know, and everybody has a vice that they're working on. Whether you get saved or not, you have that thing that you're working on. But if that thing is a dynamic part of your dream, then you have to make a decision. Is this part of my dream going to be what keeps me from living my dream, or am I able to walk in this thing and not go to that part of my dream? Might make sense to you?
Yes, perfect sense. And actually, I can understand the concept probably more so than a lot of people listening right now. And I say it like this because the walk that I have right now, and this is my personal life, I work in nightclubs 2 to 3 to 4, 5, 6 shows out of the week, depending on the week. And I'm surrounded by it. I'm surrounded by beautiful, scantily clad women. Sometimes less than that. I'm surrounded by alcohol. I'm surrounded by different other things that I choose not to partake in. And it all comes down to choices. And, you know, peer pressure is the biggest pain in the wazoo in this industry. And I will, that's a shoot, my friend. I think all three of us can agree on that. Yeah. And there are times when I will go hang out with everybody. You know, it's like after we're done with the Global Championship Wrestling show, we may wrap up and go down to Hooters. And some of us may have a beer. I may have a beer. I may have a Diet Coke or a Diet Soda. Coke's not paying me. And or I may have a sweet tea or water. And I may turn around and either eat a salad or I may eat 2 dozen wings. But it all comes down to choices. You know, do I want my stomach to feel like a Mack truck ran through it? Then I'll eat 3 dozen wings. If I want to wake up the next morning and get ready to roll, I'm going to have a salad.
Right.
And, you know, but the thing I've always told people, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're born again, you can't drink. It's like, excuse me, I just can't do anything knowingly to destroy my body. So it's like, if I'd like to have a cocktail, I can. I'm just not going to have 10 like I used to.
Right.
So,
drunk.
Yeah, really. I haven't felt that in a long time. No, it's like last night. I hosted a show at Buffalo Wild Wings in Alabaster, and I have what I call a midnight toast. And there are weeks that I'll do it with a soda. There's a night that I'll do it with sweet tea. There's nights that I'll actually do it with a Crown Royal and 7-Up. And it just, I show everybody, especially when I'm drinking water or a non-alcoholic beverage, it's like, you don't have to be drinking a drink. You don't have to have an alcoholic beverage to have a toast. And I let everybody know it's all about the choices you make, because you know, Buffalo Wild Wings is a family establishment. That way it's like when I get ready to do it, I let everybody know it doesn't have to be a shot, beer, or mixed drink. It can be Coke, Diet Coke. They serve Coca-Cola products, so I mention them by name.
Right.
Make the franchise happy. There you go. Make the boss happy too. But I make sure that everybody understands it's like it's all personal choice and the way that they approach that personal choice. So you can have a full and active life in the church, and that doesn't mean that it's like you can't. Okay, you can hang out with your friends, but you've got to make sure that you stay true to your walk while you're hanging out with your friends. Now, if everybody somebody going to go crack a window and break into Walmart or something, it's like, no, can't do that. Bye bye. See ya. But if they're going to turn around and sit down and if they're going to go to a sports bar and watch the Falcons game, yeah, I'll go with you. Yeah, I may have a beer. Yeah, I may have the fried pickles. I'm good with that.
And here's my deal. I mean, I still go to a lot of the places or whatever, and people know my walk or whatever. But then too, what a lot of people have to realize is DNA. In my personal life, and a lot of people might have this nickname. I have people in my family that are extreme alcoholics. I have people in my family that are drug addicts. I have people in my family that have messed their lives up because of addiction. And so me, when I look at alcohol and I look at drugs, I look at it as kryptonite, not just kryptonite. I fear it because I look at my DNA. I look at my bloodline. I look at people in my past, the people that I see every day that this liquid has messed up, that this addiction has messed up. So I fear it when I look at it. And a lot of people, they don't realize that their DNA is set up to where you, like you're saying, you could have a drink and it doesn't affect you. But somebody else that has that just little niche in that DNA can have a drink or have a sip of this or whatever, and it messes their whole system up, and they can't stop because that's their addiction. That's what that thing that drives their body, that's what their body craves for. And so people don't realize that, you know, some people have different tolerance for things. Some people have different cravings for things. Like some people could be a sex addict. Somebody could be a drug addict. Some people can be an alcoholic. Somebody can be a worry whore. Somebody can be somebody that steals or whatever, and whatever that niche is. But if you're sitting in the realm of this and you know that your weakness is alcohol, then alcohol is what you really need to stay away from.
Right.
If you know that you can take alcohol and it doesn't bother you, you know, if you can take this and it doesn't bother you, that's one thing. But if you take that one thing and you know that if I have one drink, I have to have two.
Right.
If I have two drinks, I have to have three. Then maybe that's what you need to stay away from, because you get to a point to where you can't control yourself anymore, and that's when you're getting drunk and you're not able to stand for yourself anymore. And that's where a lot of people get messed up, because they got to the point where they made the wrong choices, and they took a little too much to drink, a little too much to smoke, a little too much to do this, and then the next thing you know, they're not accountable for themselves anymore, and they end up doing things that they can't remember that they did, and now their life and their name is messed up.
Now, if you want to talk about a major addiction, that is why, and knowing the kryptonite the way I do, that is why I stay away from certain all-you-can-eat buffets.
Yeah, people don't realize food can be a crutch. You're
it
right.
Is. It is. I'd like to welcome back in the Wicked Nemesis.
I'm so sorry about that, guys.
It's okay.
What are you doing, man? You're going back and forth or whatever. You got some sandwich on the side you want to hear us chewing while you're on the radio or something? You got somebody
actually, I was hit by an illegal alien, and my van got destroyed, and my father-in-law just showed up with the van. So, sorry, I was
playing video game.
No, Caprice, you must be mistaking me for Orion Bishop, my brother.
No!
Let me ask you something, Caprice, in all honesty. You are one of the most sincere, one of the best talkers. I mean, you know, you're one of those guys that never needed a manager. How do you feel about managers in this business? You know, some guys go in there, and you know, anybody thinks they can be a manager. I said earlier that I felt like the Bobby Heenan DVD was the worst thing that could happen, because now everybody's coming out of the woodwork trying to be a manager. How do you feel about these guys? Because you obviously never needed one, because you're one of the best talkers, and that's coming from the best talker in professional wrestling, Wicked Nemesis.
Well, you hear these interviews, boy.
Yeah.
All right, you're right. Here's my stand with managers. And I'm glad you hit that nail on the head. Wrestling has got to a point, especially the higher you get up, to where people are looking for the complete athlete. People are looking for the complete star, somebody that can walk for themselves and talk for themselves and do this. Back in the days, the 80s, the early 90s, and even before then, what people had were real wrestlers. What people had were real athletes. What people had were people that could go out there and perform. All right, and so what happened with these people that were real wrestlers and all, and I believe somebody that missed that era by like an inch was like a Dean Malenko, was somebody that could really wrestle but was not an entertainer. And so when people start really getting to the more side of wrestling entertainment, they start pushing away from the people that really could work, people that really could tell a story in a match or whatever, and they wanted to be entertained. They wanted to love you. They wanted to find a reason why I can adore you or whatever. And so the managers at that time were used for people that were real good athletes but could not portray to a crowd who they were. So the manager was the person that walked in and say, hey, you know, so-and-so, I'll explain who you are. You're a bad, vicious so-and-so. And 9 times out of 10, the bad, vicious so-and-so they were portraying, if they opened their mouth, they sound like Mike Tyson, so nobody would really believe them.
So they had the manager to put across how dirty they were, how mean they were, how destroyful they were, and how vindictive they were, or whatever. And that person really never opened their mouth, which made the manager very powerful. The manager these days, I believe, still has a place, but it's very hard for a manager simply because of the fact that the industry is looking for people that can stand on their own, basically because they're trying to save money, because they know if I got to bring this wrestler in, I can't have him to do anything unless his manager comes, because he can't speak for himself. I can't put him in a storyline unless I put him and his manager in the storyline. So I believe a manager's place was mainly used back in the day because people couldn't talk, but because of the turn of the industry now, they're using less managers because wrestlers aren't really looking for, promoters aren't really looking for wrestlers that need somebody to talk for them. They want to be able to pay one person, and that one person speaks for themselves, walks for themselves, talks for themselves, and explains themselves or whatever. So if a manager can find somebody that really can't voice their opinion, or somebody that's better off not saying anything, that's where a manager's place is now, to make somebody believe that this person here is a lot more dangerous than they appear when they keep their mouth shut.
Well, if I can jump in on that one for a second, because, you know, I would... Remembering the heyday of the National Wrestling Alliance, especially Jim Crockett Promotions in specific, and when you had tandems such as the Four Horsemen, managed by James J. Dillon, and you had four tremendous talkers to begin with, and then to add the character of Jimmy Dillon on there, who was great behind the microphone, and then take that to a different level. You had the Midnight Express. Bobby Eaton did all of his best talking inside the ring. Tremendous performer. He was okay on a microphone. I've known Bobby for years. He was okay on the microphone, and he admits that, but he would rather have somebody else do the power talking. Dennis Condrey could cut a promo 7 days a week. Known Dennis for years. Tremendous in the ring, good on the microphone. And then the addition of Stan Lane. Stan, great in the ring, but a little bit short on the microphone. And, you know, no disrespect intended at any capacity like that, but Jim Cornette steps to the forefront as that manager, that flamboyant mouthpiece, and helps to drive the point home. And it's funny because during the times that Cornette would do color commentary along with Schiavone and Crockett, it's almost the case of you have the perfect setup for the color commentator, because not only does he have a good functional knowledge of the business, but he also has a good knowledge of the team, so he can put over the match, the storyline, and the team at the same time. And then you have people like Paul Ellering, who was the front man for the Road Warriors. Hawk and Animal were, there's a word that I would like to use, and I don't want to use the word comedic, but they were very, I don't want to use the word fickle, wishy-washy, but they could work both sides of a promo. They could cut the serious, I'm going to kick your tail promo, and then turn around and say something completely off the cuff, off the wall, and have me on the floor laughing.
Right.
Even working heel, they could do that.
They were unpredictable loose cannons.
And then Paul Ellering comes in as the voice of reason, so to speak, to put all the chaos in proper perspective. So it's really, because I've seen individuals that shouldn't talk in this business.
I've seen a number of them.
And I've also seen some that were great talkers, but the manager actually helped the situation with the storylines as well, because there's different ways that this industry flies on so many different occasions. And it's just, I think, and this is something that Wicked and I have had discussions about, and I think for the longtime promoters in this business who at one time were fans of this business, promoters who've come along in the last 10 years who may be in their 40s and late 30s, early 40s, who remember the heyday of the Crockett era, I think that a part of us look for or maybe hope that that next Bobby Heenan or Gary Hart or Jim Dillon or Jimmy Cornette or Paul Ellering will just drop into our lap. And until that shining light comes walking through the door, so to speak, to hate to use the Dustyism from years ago, but until that person who's walking in with the shining light surrounding them going, I am your manager, hire me now. I think they're afraid to hire certain people as managers because even though they may be good behind the scenes, every once in a while, bad promos are going to happen. Not to Wicked Nemesis, but... I had to get that one in there. But, you know, I think the whole thing with the managers, I think that there's always a viable possibility that someone could work as a manager, because I started out in this industry as a manager. And mm-hmm. when I first started training in the ring, you know, I was yammer yammering back and forth, and the promoter, the owner of the company, called me out to the side. He said, "You're going to continue to train, but you know something? I want to try you out as a manager." I said, mm-hmm. "Okay, what do you want me to do?" He said, and here's exact words. He said, "I want you to be yourself, go out there and piss people off." It's like, ooh, Merry Christmas to me.
Right.
But go ahead.
And that, what you said, that Merry Christmas to you was the bell that a lot of people need to realize, is that when you're able to be yourself in the wrestling industry, that's when you take off.
Yeah.
Because wrestling, your style is nothing more than, like I said, Caprice Coleman is nothing more than myself times 10. You know, so I don't have to act like somebody that I'm not. I don't have to portray something that I've never been, because it's me, you know. And so I'm out there and I'm being me. I just turn it up a notch. And with managers and all that, it's basically, like you said, ticking people off. It's just themselves times 10 or whatever. And I believe what you were talking about with the Horseman's manager, J.J. Dillon, and all those, they were actual managers too.
Yeah.
They actually worked. It wasn't just somebody out there that while somebody's wrestling, they're trying to steal the spotlight. They actually did work. They helped in the back dressing room. They helped, like, during the drive. They managed money.
Yeah.
You know, they really did these things. And I believe managers that are able to do these things are good. But I think with them knowing that it's more than me walking out there and trying to steal the show while you're out there, and it's more than me being out there and while you're wrestling, I'm just standing still and looking dumb. I'm out there and I'm working as well. I'm out here trying to get this crowd up as well. I'm out here trying to build things up as well. I'm helping you. I'm not just an extra piece when you come. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I believe that where the true manager's role is now is to be able to continue to help the business, make people know who to cheer for, who to boo for, you know what I'm saying? And then be able to not take away from the match.
Right.
Be able to enhance the match. Like, I believe one of the greatest managers now what's his name? NWA Anarchy, the biggest.
Jeff Bailey.
Anyway, Jeff G. Bailey. I mean, you ain't getting no better than that. Jeff G. Bailey works just as hard on the microphone as he does behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? And not only is he out there, he's out when he's managing somebody, that joker, he's talking to him on the way. You know, sometimes I ride with some of the guys he manages, and he's talking to him on the way up there. He's running ideas about him. He's talking about personal things. He's a real manager. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He's not just somebody that, you know, the next promo I'm going to do this. He's really managing, that he's really trying to be part of their life. He's a real manager. And then behind the scenes, he's working the videos. He's doing this and he's doing that. He's a real manager. And I believe people like him, there's definitely a place for him in the industry.
And for the record, I think Wicked Nemesis actually challenges my crown. He's known as the Oracle of Ominous, and I am the Oracle of Shameless Promotion. I think that Wick's actually on a record clip to eclipse my run on that. So I've got to be careful. I got to step it back up. Speaking of stepping up, I hate to do that. I got to do this real quick. Folks, you're listening to Beyond Ringside, your home for wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing, full contact FM, and a whole lot more. Fast Eddie Lane, the Wicked Nemesis. We are live right now with Caprice Coleman, professional wrestling superstar, and we are making the move. I want everybody, especially in the Mid-Atlantic area. Here's your hard segue for the week, kids. Saturday night, January the 29th. It is not that far away. Seagrove, North Carolina. Power Pro Wrestling. Want to say a very special hello and thank you to good friends here, to a good friend of ours here at Beyond Ringside, Jim Fox, the artist formerly known as Dick Foley, and the man's probably got more nicknames than I've got active brain cells, which means he has at least two. The event is going to be 528 Old Plank Road at Seagrove Elementary School. This is a fundraiser for the Randolph County Knockouts girls 16 and under and 18 and under fast pitch softball team. Folks, this is a lineup that is off the chart. The Seagrove Super Show is exactly what it is. And the poster right now is available. Information is available. It's going to be more prevalent on BeyondRingside.com. But right now, you can see some of the stars who are going to be on this event by going to P2WOnline.com. And our very special guest right now, Mr. Caprice Coleman, is in one of the main events for that night with Power Pro Wrestling in Seagrove, North Carolina, on Saturday, January the 29th, because you are going one-on-one with a man that some call Gunner, but a lot of us know as the National Wrestling Alliance, National Heavyweight Champion, the Universal Soldier, Phil Shatter. One-on-one. Now, you've got a little bit of a history with Shatter, if my notes are right.
Oh, yeah.
This is not going to be your first dance with him.
Right.
Give us a little bit of a background on the Shatter Coleman. I dare use the word rivalry.
Okay, I was waiting for you to finish.
Oh, no.
I dare use the word rivalry.
There was a dot. There was a dot, dot, dot on there.
Yeah. Shatter and Coleman. I really can't even count how many times I've worked Shatter now. And if you see us two going at it, you know you're definitely going to get a good match. What happened is when I came back to Anarchy, my goal was to be a champion. And they automatically put me in the race against Jeff G. Bailey and his crew. And at the time, Jeff G. Bailey's biggest champion was Phil Shatter. And we wrestled at the first big show that they had when I got back. And we had an outstanding match, outstanding chemistry. Basically, the big man versus the guy with finesse. But Shatter, as also being a big man, has a lot of finesse as well. So
yeah.
We were always able to put on the quick versus the strong finesse guy, somebody that's going out there and wrestling, put on a good show. So what happened was after that pay-per-view or whatever, people would actually bring us in on other cars to work each other. And that's what's been happening. Everywhere I go, you know, I end up seeing this same guy, and sometimes I win, sometimes I lose against him, and it's always going to be a great match. I have a lot of respect for him. I can't talk bad about him. I can't sit here and try to run him down or whatever, because if I did, it would just be a gimmick, me trying to put myself over. Shatter's a phenomenal athlete. He's at a place now to where he worked very hard to get. I talked about before the five-hour drive I was making every other weekend. He made that drive, and also he was driving down to TNA every other weekend, which was a 9-hour drive, just to work security, you know, and he was doing this very faithfully, doing this for little money, and they didn't even realize this for a long time, but he stayed faithful with it, and because he stayed faithful with that, they gave him an opportunity, and I believe he's going to knock that opportunity out the window by doing his best. He's going to continue to do it, and next thing you know, he's going to be a prominent star at TNA, and I wish him the best of luck. However, when Shatter comes to Seagrove, North Carolina, he best believe to have his best game face on, as always, and I know he will, because I, like nobody else, I have Shatter's number. I have his game plan. I know what he's about. I've wrestled him enough time. I know his strength, and I know his weaknesses. And the thing about Caprice Coleman is when you talk about Caprice Coleman, a lot of people say, Caprice Coleman, a high flyer. Caprice Coleman is a technical wrestler. Caprice Coleman, the man that can talk on the microphone. Caprice Coleman, the man with the style, the grace, the shape, or the in the face. But when you talk about Caprice Coleman, Caprice Coleman is the methodical juggernaut that not only would do what he has to do, but thinks about what he's doing before he's doing it. I'm not waiting for Shatter to make a mistake. I will make him make mistakes to get me to where I need to be to win the state and to win that prize. You know, when they put Shatter and Coleman up, I hope Shatter's not thinking, oh, I got an easy night, or I got an easy stand, or I got a night off because I'm wrestling Coleman. Shatter will work Seagrove the 26th or the 29th, the day of that show. Shatter will work the night that we step into the ring. Shatter will work when that bell sounds. Shatter will have to work, because I'm not going to go in there with a night off mentality. I'm going out there to show people that I am on the same level that he is on, if not better, because I believe that when you're professional, you're wrestling a professional, you're there not to get a night off. You're there to the show. So you can have two main events at the PPW show, but I guarantee the main event that you're going to remember is the one with Shatter and Caprice Coleman.
It is looking like it is going to be a stellar lineup. Some of the stars that are going to be on this show: the Master of Malice, Mark James, the Scrapyard Dog, Dick Foley, Ty Tyson and Samantha Starr, the Dark Arrival, Power Pro Wrestling Internet Champion Scotty Matthews, Power Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion Ollie Steele, members of the Four Corner Cartel, the new Power Pro Wrestling, and I do mean new, General Manager Dr. Michael Devine, who we will have here on Beyond Ringside next week, the Power Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions Roland Dice and Sean Cruz, a former champion making his return to Power Pro Wrestling, Champagne, going to walk back in the door. stars that you have seen all over on television, stars that you have seen at live events, such as Chemo, a man that you have a little bit of a track record with, do you not, Mr. Coleman?
Of course.
As well as making a very special guest appearance. Speaking of managers, the Perfect 10, Baby Doll, will be there. Folks, mark your calendars, make your plans. Seagrove, North Carolina, Saturday night, January the 29th, Seagrove Elementary School. This is going to be an absolute blast. I have the honor and the privilege of making my way to North Carolina. This will be my first trip to North Carolina, and I am genuinely looking forward to it. I want to thank everybody with Power Pro for being absolutely tremendous to me in this outing. We were trying to do this last year, and the snowstorm got in our way. My Birmingham airport got shut down, and sorry, Eddie was ticked. I'm praying that the weather holds this time. I've got my tickets. Plans are made. The itinerary's booked. Yours truly, the Magic City Motor Mouth Fast Eddie Lane, will be in Seagrove, North Carolina, as a part of the Seagrove Super Show on Saturday the 29th of January. I am so looking forward to this. I've had a chance to watch a number of Power Pro events, courtesy of the internet and the fact that they used to televise a lot of their stuff, both as iPay-per-views on Cast Network and as free shows in the early going on Ustream. They've had some great outings. For our friends up in the North Carolina market, North Carolina, South Carolina, the Mid-Atlantic area, if you haven't had a chance to check out a Power Pro show, get MapQuest or Yahoo Maps ready to go. The address is there. Get your directions. Buy your ticket. Grab a soda and some popcorn. And be ready to have some fun. Saturday night, January the 29th. Wicked Nemesis, come on back in with Caprice Coleman for a minute.
Caprice, what's the sandwich? Congratulations. Congratulations on all the success. You, like I said, you've been up and down against Shatter, Chemo, all these guys. Don't give us your entire game plan, but tell us how you feel that you're going to be able to conquer Phil. Shatter's been on such a tear. And another man. And you're looking at two guys that know Jesus. Are you guys going to... There's going to be some Bible verses talk where you are destroying each other because you are two of the nicest guys, but two of the toughest guys. I mean, I don't. It's like a Ryan Bishop. All three of you guys are three of the toughest guys, but yet you're closer to God than anybody I know. Tell me how are you going to go to this guy and be like, I know we're brothers in arms, but take it.
I'm glad you said that. That's why I really put Shadow over. I know that he's definitely a man of faith, and I really respect him for that. Me and Shadow have a good relationship, and we realize that when we're out there. To put a show on, it is for the fans. It is for the crowd. So we realize when we're out there to wrestle, there's no hard feelings. We're not out there trying to kill each other, hurt each other permanently. We're out there to put on a show that when these people come and when these people leave, they know they saw the best match that was able to be performed right in front of them. They had no question that they got more than their money's worth. And I believe when you become a Christian, a lot of people think that holds you back. But here's the way I think about this. I don't work for you. I don't work for a promoter. I don't work for my boss. I don't work for anybody that's over me. I work like I'm working towards God. I work as if I'm working for the Almighty One. So that means when I'm wrestling, I'm giving it all my God, all I've got, not for you, but for Him, because I'm giving it my best. I'm giving it my all, and that's the same persona that Shatter has. And he's not working for you. He's working for Him. And so when you go out there and you have two people that's out there to perform, I'm not saying that I got the niche and I'm going to do this. This is going to be a great match, and whoever wins, wins. But I best believe and understand that it will not be a night off because I come to work. Shatter is coming to work. And so best believe you're definitely going to get a match where you see these people giving it their best, giving it all that they have to make sure the fans get more than their money's worth and will follow PPW, will follow Shatter, will follow Gunner, will follow Caprice Coleman wherever they go, will follow the PPW car wherever they go because they know these guys didn't come to steal money. They came to give people more than their money's worth. That's how I feel about the game plan. The game plan is not I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give it everything I've got.
By the way, folks,
if I come out on top, I win. If I don't come out on top, I don't feel bad because I know I gave it all that I had.
By the way, folks, real quick, if I may, ticket prices are as follows. They have Golden Circle VIP passes available, $15 a piece for rows 1 and 2 while they last. Floor seating is available at $12 a piece. Bleacher seating available, $10. The price, you can't beat it. For the talent that is going to be on this show, you cannot beat it. Get tickets at the following locations. In Seagrove, North Carolina, Community One Bank, Video Express, First Bank, Seagrove Hardware, among other places. There are ways to get tickets right now. Once again, check out the website, powerprowrestlingonline.com or p2wonline.com. And check it out. Once again, Saturday, January the 29th. You know, I almost had something that I was going to say, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. So knowing the factor of you being a man of faith as you are, and Shatter being a man of faith as he is. So the phrase is, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. So when one of, which one of you is going to use Psalm 122:1 when you walk into the ring?
That's what I was trying to tell you. It's not going to be a competition of who's this and who's that, or whatever, who has the more faith and all. If we're going out there to wrestle. We're going out there to do what we do. We're going out there to do it better than anybody else does it. And I believe when you see us out there, I'm so elated when I heard about Shatter's remission to faith because of the simple fact of this. There's so many people out there that when they look at Christianity, they look at people that, okay, what's the catch? Okay, what's the gimmick? Okay, what's the clause? Where are you going to fall at? Where's the tweak at? Are you doing this for a gimmick? But when you're doing it for real life, I believe this is the era. I believe this is the time that people to see that Christians can be Christians, and Christians can still steal the show. Christians can still be out there and be the best athlete. Christians doesn't mean that I'm holding back. Christians don't make you a punk. Christian means that this is a life that I've chosen to live, and I'm going to do the best that I have to do at it. And while I'm at it, guess what? I'm a wrestler, too. And because I'm a wrestler, I'm going to be the best wrestler I can be because I'm not working for you. I'm working for him. So Shatter's going to come with the same thing I come with. That's why I say, may the better man win for that night. So he better come working because I'm coming to work myself.
And while some of our eight listeners right now are running to dust off their Bible to find out exactly what I just said a minute ago, Psalm 122:1, for I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Okay, thanks for playing. That's actually been one of my favorite verses.
You should have made them pick it up, man.
Now they're going to go grab it and dust it off just to make sure that I didn't get it wrong. Hang on. Hey, do me, tell you what, let me, can you hang with us for one short second?
I got unlimited minutes, baby.
Okay, tell you what, folks, we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to be right back on Beyond Ringside right after this. Stay tuned. Real quick, like to welcome everybody back into Beyond Ringside. This is Fast Eddie Lane on this side of the control panel, being rejoined by the Wicked Nemesis.
Yes, with one of the greatest talkers in the business, Caprice Coleman.
Mr. Coleman, glad to have you on Beyond Ringside this morning. It's been a pleasure, and I thank you for being generous with your time. It's greatly appreciated.
Not a problem. It's an honor to be on your show, buddy.
And the door is always going to be open. Now, I know that you've got a couple of appearances between now and Seagrove's. Let everybody know where they can find Caprice Coleman at some of the upcoming events.
All right. The main ones that are coming up now is January 14th. I'll be in Richmond, Virginia, Ring of Honor show. January 15th, I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, Ring of Honor show. I got some overseas stuff coming in February, but I believe between now and the Seagrove show, those are the main two shows that are coming up. So come check out Ring of Honor. You're always going to get a good show with them. It's an honor for me to be back on their card. I believe when I came back, I was definitely wanting to hit all the spots that I hit before I got back from overseas. And this is my welcome back to Ring of Honor. And they're bringing me back in with open arms, and I really appreciate them with that because I was thinking that, I was going to go in and know my role and shut my mouth. And that's basically what I do because you have to be humble. But they did some write-ups on me, and they're actually making it a big thing. And I really appreciate them for thinking of me like that because they really didn't have to, and they did. So come out and support their show. Of course, you're going to get a good show with them as well. So if you're in the areas, come check them out.
So you've got a stacked schedule between Ring of Honor and Power Pro Wrestling. That is an all-star lineup. And like I said, coming to the 29th, you Shatter one-on-one. Granted, this is not your first cup of coffee with each other. You said you've won a few, that Shatter's won a few, and it's we're not sure the exact, I don't know the overall record between the two of y'all because the two of y'all have faced each other in different areas. But I know that on the 29th, like I said, and I've had conversations with Jim Fox with Power Pro Wrestling, and he says that all the record books always get thrown out the window at the Seagrove show because you're coming out there and it is such an environment to be in the middle of. And then for everybody in Seagrove and the surrounding areas who are making their way out there to have one of the main events be a match such as this. And I'm going in nine different directions in my brain right now because there's adjectives I want to use, but I don't want to sound like I'm overhyping because it's one of the situations where you've got someone who is a very accomplished technical wrestler, such as yourself, facing someone like the Universal Soldier, Phil Shatter. And even if you've seen the two of them work, you know you're going to get your money's worth on this. So it's not a case of, oh man, it's hey man, let's roll. And that's the way a lot of people look at this. That's when you get it right, they come back. And I'm really looking forward to the 29th more than anything. Now, how can everybody track down Caprice Coleman on this wonderful thing called the World Wide Web?
You can follow me on Twitter, Caprice Coleman, on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and those are the main places that I roll. Caprice Coleman, type me in. You can know me. I'm the man with the style, the grace, the shape of the face. You're not going to be able to mistake it once you get it in there, get it locked in. And that's the way you follow me, man. Hit me up as a friend. I won't ignore your request unless you just like on Facebook with no face and no and anything else. That's kind of scary. There's a lot of viruses going around. But Twitter, I really don't deny anybody or anything like that, man. I like people to know what I'm about and like to see what I'm doing beyond the ring and just what it is. And I believe that's the ministry in itself for them to be able to get on my website and look at it and see the other stuff that I'm into or whatever. So, yeah, Caprice Coleman on Facebook. Caprice Coleman on Twitter. Follow me, man, and I hope I'm able to inspire you in different ways, and not just in wrestling, but in life as well. One more thing I'm looking forward to with Shatter and all that I wanted to throw out there is that a lot of times you get a great wrestling match, and then at the end you're disappointed because somebody comes out and cheats, somebody pulls out a short coattail or something like that, and I believe this is what makes me respect Shatter so much more, because we've had matches to where he's had people before his change that actually did this, and since his change, me and him has been able to have one-on-one matches to where whoever wins. If not, you can blame the referee, you can't blame the manager, you can't blame this. We'll go out there and we steal the show, and whoever wins. So if you want to go out there and you want to see a great match, two guys that's going to work, two guys that's going to tear the house down, two guys that's going to give you a full match with a complete finish, whichever the finish is, whichever way it goes, that's where you want to be at on the 29th, because you're going to see real wrestling.
Now, I've made a reference to a number of the stars who are going to be on the show on Saturday the 29th up in Seagrove, but there is one that I would really love to be able to hear the voice from above, and I'm referring to Jim Fox with Power Pro Wrestling. But if there was some miraculous way that he could let us know about the Lucha Libre Challenge that is going to be taking place on Saturday the 29th, it would just, that voice from above would be a really good thing right now. Do you think so, Caprice? Ladies and gentlemen, good friend of the family here at Beyond Ringside, I'm referring to Jim Fox with Power Pro Wrestling. Good to have you on board, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, doing wonderful. I saw the number call in. I didn't know if you were wanting to eavesdrop or if you actually wanted to come on for a minute.
I didn't want to steal any shine from Caprice there. I have been listening to the interview. Awesome job. I appreciate him doing it with you guys. But sitting here listening to what's going on, and as far as the Lucha Libre goes, it's going to be our Danger Zone division, Lucha Libre Champions, which is Kid Dragon and El Sonador versus Sangre Latina and
Guerrero Ninja.
Good match. They've got a history. It'd be a good title match. Sitting here listening to this show and listening to Caprice, I had the opportunity to talk to Phil the other day. It's going to be a phenomenal match. Something that I'm going to do for this match, because I know Caprice and I know Caprice well. This is the 9th annual Seagrove Super Show, so this is going to be the first time this has been interjected. I'm going to choose a match, and it's going to be their match. Something I'm going to start at the Seagrove Super Show since we've taken this over. So there's going to be a trophy awarded to the winner of the match. It will be theirs to keep, take home, put on their mantle, do whatever they want to do with it, and it will be tailored to the Seagrove Super Show of the man of the night, match of the night, whatever you want to call it, whatever match we decide is going to be set, because there's going to be some great title matches, and this is not a title match. But I think it'll give both of these guys, with their spiritual intuitions and their backgrounds and the stuff of these guys, and just knowing the caliber of these guys, and these guys have been on my shows before, super athletes, super gentlemen. I want to do something special for them, and what we're going to do, we're going to award a trophy. So it's going to give them a little something extra in the match. We want to award the trophy to them who wins that match that night, that they'll be able to take it home and know that they were the ninth annual Seagrass Super Show winner of the match of the night or show of the night, whatever we decide we're going to name it. Sometimes I sit here brainstorming about, because Caprice knows me, a lot of guys know me, I like giving back to the guys that put out for us on our shows, and I just can't thank these guys enough for doing what they do.
Cool.
That's big time. Good stuff. Good
Very
stuff.
Cool. Do me a favor, and once again, I want to thank Jim for coming on with us. Caprice, I want to thank you again for being so generous with your time.
Caprice, could we take, like, your charisma bottle? Can I tell you guys something? The only time I've been in this business, I'm going on 5 years, it's in this month, the only time that I had come close to even remotely crying was Caprice last night at Anarchy. He gave one of the most heartfelt speeches ever. And y'all know me, I'm 6'3", 205 with an 8.5-inch mohawk. And, you know, I'm sitting here in a mask and a suit, and he has me literally like, I'm glad I had the mask. I put it on as tight as I could. I mean, Caprice, I mean, in all honesty, this is for myself and my brother, Ron Bishop. You have always been inspirational to us, you and Shatter. You're one of the greatest in this business, and I look forward to doing more shows with you. And Mr. Fox, if you can, do me a favor. Get me on your show, because you always have the best shows, and I'm tired of hearing about all these good shows. And the way Simpsons isn't there. What the heck?
Well, when that plane flies by over that way, grab a wing and come on.
Come on through. Come on. Hey, man, I really appreciate that. That goes to show that, you know, you never know who's watching. And I really appreciate you doing that for me, man. I appreciate y'all, too. And I thank you for allowing me to be on your radio show. And thank you for your time. And
Caprice, I want to let you know something. The door is always open. If you've got upcoming events, please drop me a note on Facebook, shoot me a text message, catch me on direct message on Twitter. Let me know what's going on, and you have a guarantee from all of us here at Beyond Ringside. We will always do what we can to help get the word out.
I appreciate that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Caprice Coleman, Beyond Ringside. You got him, and he's live. Thank you again, Caprice. Thank you for coming on. We look forward to I'll look forward to meeting you and seeing you up in Seagrove, North Carolina, Saturday night, January the 29th at the Seagrove Super Show. It's going to be a blast. Thank you again.
All right. Stay locked in, baby.
As I turn on my radio, if I listen on the internet, I'm listening for one station to be beyond the circuit, to be beyond the place, the man with the style, the grace, the shape, and the faith. If you want to hear the innovator, the crowd motivator, the commentator complicator, if you want to know to the place where the place when somebody's more devastating than the space modulator, you come to the place where Caprice Coleman is. That's right, the show stopping, crowd popping, body rocking, pulse pounding, the heart race of the handsome face heartbreaker will be at Beyond Ringside. I'm logged in, baby. Are you?